closely talk. Broadcasting from the world famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on May 4th, 2008.
Doug is so hot. Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time to converse about all things paranormal. For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Doug is so feeling not. Tonight, Norman Ober tells us all about Anita's Heaven. And then Michael Cremo returns. And then, oh, the lovely Heather Lambert brings her cheer once again to the Haunted Winery.
Sounds like you need it. Get their naps in today. I got 22 minutes. Bonnie?
No, I'm good.
Do you know, this is so going on my iPod. I have to put this on my iPod. It's not on there yet.
I keep telling you, whatever you want, just give it to you got some geek jewelry on you, don't you?
Yeah, I've got right here, and we just need to...
Yeah, just give it to me, and I'll just throw it on there for you. It's yours, dude.
I want it. This is Ghost. No matter how bad of a day I'm having, that cheers me up. What is this?
This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
And my voice is probably about 3 octaves lower.
Listen up, everybody. I'm
That's how I feel today.
Well, there's a little glimpse into our first break for the evening.
Man. Hey, who's doing the first
Damn
break?
It.
Who's
Damn it!
I'm getting a psychic connection. I see
anything.
Steve
you
Schneider.
Think D. Schneider's doing the first
My
break?
My God, man. This...
I know. It's been like that for me.
Someday
today.
We'll get real software, like real broadcasting software or something, I guess. And we'll like,
everything has been going like that for me.
Where it manages everything. It's just the digital producer, you know, or something like that. It's got to be out there somewhere. It's got
to
be.
Someone
freeware.
Has to have written the digital producer under the
Help
new
us for
public
God. Somebody write us a program or something because we suck here after 300 years of broadcasting. We still suck, man. We need help. All right, it's all you, Doug. Sorry.
We've got all kinds of things to talk about. First of all, this past weekend.
I love the Kaisers. That's all I'm going to say.
It was brutal.
It was long. It was tedious. It was very, very exhausting. But
I'm going to so get fired. That was my cell phone. Okay, that's strike two.
It was.
Strike two.
Are we going to call the show before it's like 2 minutes old?
I told everybody, all of our friends that we were with this weekend to call me.
Right.
When they get home. So I think maybe a lot of them are getting home right now.
Ah, I see.
And they may have forgotten that I'm on the air, which is, that's okay.
And that's fine.
I can deal with that.
That's fine.
Cool. So I'll just call this number back when we're on break next time.
No Good problem. Idea.
Sorry.
So, yes, we film.
Yeah. For, what is it, Dr. Don, Electric Boogaloo?
Dr. Don's American Spirit Summit.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
That was being worked on this
The
weekend.
Name of the movie.
Yes,
and, what a time. It was just totally...
Two 12-hour days.
Yeah.
I thought Friday and yesterday, the winery was left in shambles, but that's what happens because there's, you know, stuff everywhere. But you know, we fixed that, and it was finally over very late last night. We all got to hang out. And stuff
but it
like
was a weekend of good friends, good food, good filming, a lot of jokes.
Yeah,
there were a few. I think some.
What sound was that? What else is broken in the studio?
I have no idea. That was just a random chime. Ding.
Is that your computer?
It's not this. I turned the volume all
the way. I didn't go through the headphones. Oh, you know what that was? That's probably,
the voicemail notification.
It's my voicemail thing.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. All right.
Yeah, because I didn't hear it in the headphones, but I did hear it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Wow. But
yeah, so it was a very busy weekend. The Kaisers.
Weekend continues.
Spiro Productions came out here. All the way from Gettysburg, basically, Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, do their filming, which were a big part of that. Everybody.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Kenny and Donna from Pyra were here.
Seeing them and Mike and Diana.
Mike and Diana from Pyra. Folks. Yeah, all the
MPI. Jason Gowen, Sean Burris.
Yes, thank you.
And
all the folks were out here.
Good Jonathan from
Yes, it was so good to see him.
It's been like about 8 months since forever. We've seen, the good Jonathan.
Right.
GJ. Which is about the same amount of time I haven't seen EJ.
Right.
So it balances out. So it was really good to see good Jonathan from Grimstone. Just a host of people came out to help with this project that we're all working on and helping them. Oh, my God. Andy and Tyner.
Andy and Tanya Kaiser from Experio Productions.
Yeah.
Helping them out. So thank you for
We also got to see Tanya and Allie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Formerly from Louisville, now from Southern Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which was just an incredible treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, lots of great, people to hang out with. It was awesome. It was a lot of work, unfortunately. And Andy actually commented on that yesterday when we were doing stuff. He's like, next time we get together, why don't we just, like, hang out?
Yeah.
I'd love to just hang out and talk, you know. And that's why I think it was really great to get to we all went to dinner last night. And, I know we all kind of got separate tables because the fascists at FD, they can't, God forbid, well, unless you have some huge party coming in there, you know, your 12-year-old's party at 9 p.m. at night, you know.
Right.
And you have balloons and a clown and, like, a stripper or something like that.
Right.
You know, that'll disrupt the whole restaurant. They'll let you put your tables together then.
But if
you just have some people that want to come there and get a dinner,
yeah, if you're just 20 people who want to go out to eat,
sit in separate tables.
Yeah, yeah, no camaraderie whatsoever. You've got to be separated completely. It's just segregation. I can't believe this crap. It's garbage.
Well, I got to sit with Tom and Gowan, so that was just amazing.
Yeah, we sat with
I remember chuckling time. Once or twice.
Oh, jeez. Are you serious?
Yeah.
So we just sat there and talked about it was kind of a depressing conversation. It wasn't depressing, but we were just kind of got into this conversation of, like, just stupid people, which, you know, that's my topic of choice, I guess, from what I've, from my reputation that's getting around. It's just my topic of choice to, like, get on the subject of just dumb people and the dumb things they do, and that's kind of what we did for an hour and a half. So,
I don't blame you. Hey, speaking of interesting situations, which of course you were speaking of stupid people, but I segued it over. I applied segue to it, and I created
and then mentioned it.
Interesting situations. Yeah. Oh yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
You can't do a good segue without mentioning it.
Right.
It's radio par.
I keep getting questions. What happened to the show last week? Why was it only an hour and a half? Well,
I thought it said right on the beginning.
It does. I don't really get questions. I was just trying to lead into.
You can't lie to your listeners. All right, well, go ahead.
I was trying to.
So you got 1,000 emails on this.
Yeah, well, I haven't even checked my email in a week, but you know, I'm sure I do have emails on this.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is last week I know we only did a half of a show, right?
Yeah, exactly, a half show.
But that was, I thought, an amazing show.
It was,
so I was really glad that half happened.
Yeah, it was really great. There was a disclaimer that after the show, I don't think I told you that, after the show, Bonnie and I just sat here and I just cut like a couple seconds of just like, okay, you're probably wondering why this file size or whatever is too small and whatever thing you're playing in, and this is what happened when the machine blew up, and you know,
right,
we were able to recover some stuff and get it going about halfway through the show. So we decided to, you know, call the people back and get them back on the line, and they were nice enough to do that. So that's the reason. Hopefully, we're not going to. Well, so far so good right now.
Yeah, it seems to be working.
Everything.
Keeping my fingers crossed. Knocking on wood.
Everything is in the green. So I'm holding.
Don't knock too hard. You might screw it up.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying don't move. Make okay. No sudden movements.
No sudden movements.
Do not say the words with the letter I in them, because I found that gives us problems too with this system. That's why it's being replaced.
Yeah.
That's the next. It's not going to. You're not going to notice it, but we're going to notice it.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big difference for us.
Sweet.
So hopefully by next weekend we'll have this new machine in place, depending on what kind of time we have. With, you know, Mother's Day is coming up and stuff like that. So we'll have to see how that goes. But we'll. That's one thing we're working on too. Boy.
I did indeed get an email though. I don't know if that was this week or last week, but. We got an email, and it turns out it's somebody's birthday.
Yeah.
And so they took the time to email us, so we figured we'd take the time to reply to this.
No, we can't sing.
No, we can't.
We're not singing, no.
We
tried that in the past, and it's like gotten us kicked off some networks. So we're not doing that again.
But we do want to wish Thea a happy birthday.
Thea, yeah.
So have a fantastic day.
Yeah, happy birthday, Thea.
I'm just absolutely thrilled for you, and I'm so happy that you listened to the show. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much, and we hope you have a wonderful birthday. We hope you're not nearly as old as we are. You're probably not.
That would be the most best wish for anybody to get, is that you're not nearly as old as me.
Exactly. So happy birthday, Thea. Thank you, and thanks for listening to the show, like Doug said. And we hope you keep enjoying the show down the road.
Absolutely.
Great. You know what? With all the chaos last weekend, we're trying to cram a lot here into a half an hour. But with all the chaos last weekend, you know, we didn't get to talk about our Rolling Hills trip.
Tashi's
Night Watchers Rolling Hills excursion and panty raid.
Yeah, that was it.
And you know, first off, you know, we're gonna have to give you the 7-inch version of this, unfortunately. But it was a great time, really, really, really great time.
It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's my overriding everything is it's in the middle of nothing.
Well, one thing I want to point out is that, you know, Todd wasn't able to make it that weekend.
Right.
And, you know, it was a series of things that we, you know, him and I talked. And for people, you know, this is for people that, you know, listen to the show and maybe were there or something like that. You know, we talked, him and I talked that day, and he has had a series of catastrophic events happen to this poor guy.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we found out the next day when we were having breakfast that Todd's grandmother passed away, unfortunately. So we wanted to send our, you know, it's probably over with for them. You know, I mean, this was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, this was a couple weekends ago.
But I still wanted to say, you know, our condolences go out to you, Todd. We're very sorry to hear that, and we hope that you guys heal quickly. That really bummed us out as we were getting ready to make our trip back home from the beautiful BE next to the beautiful DI in Batavia, New York.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention the name of the restaurant. But I do want to mention the name of the waiter.
Yes.
Okay, that's the one thing that we really... this is in my notes. This is how important this was. You can see that. Everybody can see that.
It's rare. Like, we literally go all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we are everywhere all the time. We're... Spring, summer, and fall. And it's rare that you get service like this. I mean, we were flabbergasted.
Well, we went to the beautiful haunted B.I. or B.E.
B.E.
B.E., yeah. B.E. In Batavia, New York. It was right next to our hotel. It was, you know, beach. Look it up. See if you can figure out. That's a game we'll play now. You know, you just figure it out on your own. It's a restaurant, you know, that we went to, and it's BE, and it's like down on the farm. There you go.
Not again, that right? Will do it, yeah.
And, we went there on Saturday morning. After we got in late, like Friday night. We went in Saturday morning to get breakfast / lunch, whatever your choice was. Pick one of the above. And we were greeted by this wonderful gentleman named Adam, who was...
Yes.
You know, there's some people that, you know, they can just do it right as far as a personality is concerned in that profession. Because, you know, he had to go through, you know, all the specials. And usually that's when I'm like, okay, look, I most restaurants I go to, I know what I want already. So I'm like, you know, shut up, give me a coffee, and...
Yeah.
Let's just get this thing going here. I got stuff to do today. But he went through this stuff, and he just did it in a manner that just was, I liked it, because he's like, all right, well, I got to go through the specials here, so just let me do that, right? And I'm kind of like, okay, well, all right, I can deal with that. But he did a very good job with it.
Right.
But I knew at the same time that he really wasn't into it, which made me happy, right? And I'm like, okay, you're a working man like I am. Cool.
Yeah.
I like what
if
we're doing.
If my manager walks by, he has to hear me giving out the specials.
So we're going
to
help
bear
him.
With me for 14 seconds.
Yeah.
All
yeah. yeah. And I can deal with that.
Okay.
I can live with that. That's a cool guy right there.
Yeah.
You know, he can look at us and go, yeah, these people will play ball with me. Let's, you know, let's have some fun together. And that's what we did at the Haunted B.E. in Batavia, New York. Was this gentleman named Adam, the waiter, was absolutely the coolest guy. We just the cool. I don't even know how Well, aside from belching in the microphone, almost, I don't know how to express myself. We just, he was just fun.
Wow,
we had a
he
ball
does move us, yeah.
We had a ball with the guy, you know, and we actually got to know each other over
and
those
And we things. Went back the next day.
Yeah, we went back, and boy, we... Oh, we
and we requested his section.
We requested his section, you know. And I went as far as to when we got back home, it was like Monday or Tuesday. You remember, you walked up to my desk at the office.
Yeah.
And I was, like, on the phone with them. And I actually called BE's, like, world headquarters or whatever.
Yes.
Or the original BE farm or wherever they had the office at and stuff. And like,
Hi, is this BE?
Is this BE? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think he's dead. The guy that owns it now
is BE Jr.?
It's Steve. The guy that owns it now.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm serious. I somehow learned that fact. I don't know why.
Well, you were on the phone with World Headquarters.
Yeah, so,
so
there you go. Yeah. They have like a little fact line that you listen to while you're waiting. So. But I actually talked to somebody. I'm like,
sorry,
I want to be.
He's dead?
Yeah.
But the new owner is Steve.
Yeah.
So enjoy.
But I gave him a
for you to know.
We were started in this. Yeah, I know. It wouldn't be surprising if that actually was going on. Yeah,
I've had that too.
You know how?
Yeah, oh, it's insane.
Or they just give you a sales pitch or something. But no, I actually called there and made a phone call and said, "Look, the haunted BE in Batavia, New York. There's a waiter there named Adam. You need to get him up to management like ASAP. This guy was absolutely fantastic. We went there 2 days in a row. We wouldn't have went the second day probably." If it wasn't for this guy, we probably would have said, like, we need some more variety in our diets. Let's go somewhere else to eat on Sunday. But we were so happy with this guy's service and how cool he was to us that we went back to your restaurant. You need to hook him up, like, right away. Here's his name, everything you need to know. Thank you so much. You know, so, yeah.
That was amazing.
It was
you know
awesome,
what else
man.
Was amazing about that weekend? Other than Rolling Hills is a pretty cool place
really
in the middle of nothing.
But it was cool, yeah.
But also... We got to meet up with Niagara Falls Paranormal.
Yes, yeah, we got to mention
NF Paranormal.
Sweet Jimmy was there to greet us when we got to Batavia at like midnight.
Yes,
at like midnight because we got there late. We didn't. Well, Amber's not around. We can't rip on her about that anymore. I think they took off. Her and Tom took off. But yeah, we were gonna go through Canada. You see.
Yes, that would have saved us.
That would have saved us
all night. But
you can't tell Amber. This is just between us. We were going to go through Canada, which would have saved us about 2 to 3 hours from our trip.
Yes.
But Amber doesn't have a birth certificate. So
she couldn't locate it.
So we had to drive around the turnpike, which put another 3 hours on our drive.
It was... awful. It wasn't...
Oh, yeah, we had fun BSing.
We had fun.
This is the first
trip.
We haven't been on the road in a long time together.
No.
It's been a very long time.
So it was very refreshing.
So we
but
got...
Still, it was 2 to 3 hours longer than it needed to be.
It was grueling.
But it was... and then, of course, the GPS told us to, like... Didn't it tell us, like... Stay to the left, and then we got to the left, and it put us on the wrong expressway.
Yes, it took us off about 10 miles. Before,
yeah.
You know,
I was like, if it meant stay to the left, and we did, why are we on a different expressway?
Yeah, those things, even though we, you know, I do love the TomTom.
Yes.
And we both own TomToms, and
yes,
Tom has a TomTom, and Tom's Tom has a TomTom.
Sean has a TomTom.
Everyone has a TomTom. Yeah, sometimes they can get, if you're in the midst of like a long drive and you're starting to get a little burnt, they can get a bit confusing at times, and you can get on the wrong road. But
yes.
Thankfully, they recalculate and all that fun
stuff.
Yeah,
figures it out and tells you, all right, you missed your turn.
Yeah. So
or you just throw it out the window.
Yeah, sometimes.
Which I have threatened to do on many occasions with Doug's GPS.
I never really had any problems with it. I mean, yeah, there's that little snafu on the way to Rolling Hills.
Right. We did have that one thing in the film about it.
Well, yeah, that'll be seen.
I'm going to call that the Dawn Dawn.
You'll be seeing that. You're going to be seeing that later this year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. We have fun with GPSs in the movie.
Now, Rolling Hills itself, we mentioned that's what we're there for. Got to thank Lori for being so cool to us and taking good care of us and... really amazing place to go through. Huge place. I spent a lot of time talking to a lot of the people who work there, just listening to their experiences, what they've seen and stuff, what they know about the building, including Lori. And we actually, I did a lot of talking that night.
Mm-hmm.
We just all kind of sat in Lori's shop, office, store thing, and just hung out. And it was
really
cool.
Kind of wandered around aimlessly. You know what they did? This was so terrible.
What's this?
they put us in charge of groups or something, right? They're like, they're like, okay, here's group, you know, red team, and here's black team, and here's blue team, right?
Infiltrate, yeah.
And so-and-so would get the, you know, a floor at this point, so-and-so would get a floor at this point, and I thoroughly didn't understand any of it. So, you know, I recognized the people from the group that were standing around the tree when we were outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went up to them later, and I said, if anybody asks, you're on your way to the nurse's quarters.
Yeah.
Or from, depending on what direction you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, huh? And I said, that's what I'm going to tell people if they ask that I assigned you to go to the nurse's quarters or come back from there. Whichever. So I just gave them these assignments to say that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And let them loose. And it just worked out really well. So you got to do your thing, and I got to, investigate the way that I investigate.
Mm-hmm.
They had cover stories. We were all good to go. It was awesome.
Well, thankfully, it wasn't a massive crowd in there. It was not that. I mean, there was a lot of people, but it wasn't horrible where, you know, you couldn't get somewhere and just chill. I mean, there was a lot of places you could just sit at and do whatever you want to do. If you want to shoot photos, do some work, whatever you want to do.
Right.
It was cool. So, you know, the group thing was a good idea, I think, but, you know, it was, I think people, and people did after a while, towards the end of the night, we just kind of all went on our own.
Right.
And it was fine. People were perfectly cool. Some places that works for, some places it doesn't. Just depends on the terrain you're on. But, you know, all in all, had a great time. Totally great.
I think they wanted to do, like, an organized kind of thing at the beginning of the night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they did that, and as a matter of fact, at one point, some lady comes up to me, and she goes, oh, your group is on the second floor, or whatever. And I go, okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get them there. And she went away.
Like, what group?
And I looked around. I said, well, right now I have my group assigned all over the place, but I'll get them back together and we'll go to the second floor.
Yeah, we
and so I thought, well, cool. If I'm assigned to the second floor, I'm going to go on the second floor. So I went up to the second floor and I just took it over. It worked out really well. We found some other strays and said, come on, we're going to do EVP. And they came over and we did EVP sessions.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good night, all in all. We want to thank Todd from Nightwatch.
Yeah.
Who we're going to be going to be with in a couple weeks.
I'm probably not going to be assigned any more groups.
Well, we're going to be with Todd at Waverly in a couple weeks,
yes.
too. So we're going to be with the Night Watchers again doing that. And a great bunch of people. Everybody's super cool. Saw a lot of familiar faces from other places, like Mothman Festival and stuff like that. So it's really great to see people out there doing this stuff, traveling around, kind of getting out there and doing these things. Really
there
cool.
was a guy from Florida. There was a fellow from Florida there
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There were people from all over the place. It was incredibly refreshing.
Talked with him for a long while, so yeah, it was cool.
And I know a lot of people are going to Waverly Hills. Is that next month?
This month? Yeah, it's next sold month. Out. It's totally sold out.
Yeah,
that I believe. Like hook, line, and sinker. You know, we're going to be going, and a bunch of other people will be there. And that's from what I understand, I've been to the website, the Night Watchers website, and it's totally sold out. So it'll be good to see, hopefully, some familiar faces there, too. And
how many people do we get to take?
Like
what's
400.
What's the GT posse?
I don't know.
400.
400.
I know. I have to work that out.
Wow, it's kind of low this time, huh?
Well, I don't know. We don't really travel too heavy anymore. Last year, we were...
Oh, yeah.
Last year, we traveled. Like, we went somewhere. It was like 40 people were, you know, in tow.
Yeah.
But this year, it's... I think people...
We need people to carry our scissors.
People traveled so much last year that they're kind
of... We don't run with scissors.
Yeah. I think some of the people got a little burnt from last year.
I know they can't keep up.
They can't keep
we're
up.
We're still traveling, aren't we?
We got
Bonnie's, you know, off and on.
Well, Bonnie has to be here. Bonnie has to be here. She has excused absence for whenever she needs it.
That's true.
And that's you know, so no busting her balls about that. She's got an excused absence. That's okay, Bonnie?
Mm-hmm.
She's like got her head down. I'm like, oh, my God, these guys hate me now.
No, actually,
I think there's a couple times a week that I think Doug hates me, so it's not a big deal.
I think he hates me.
I think you hate me all the time, so.
I miss you when you don't go.
I know, Doug, and it's not like I intentionally avoid you.
Well, that's what makes great radio, hatred.
Well, then this show should be wonderful.
Because I've heard some shows that's all they had. I'll be honest.
Ooh, that rocks.
You know, they didn't have production. They didn't have anything else going on, but they had a lot of hatred going on. So, hey, you know what? And people were piling through the doors. Like, you know...
Tune in.
like any large chain department store on the day after Thanksgiving, they're giving away DVD players, whatever.
Kinda live like on HATEFM.
You've seen that. People are breaking each other's arms to get through the door to listen to that stuff. So hey, I guess maybe that's the heat of good radio. We'll have to see. No, I don't hate anybody. Well, I hate a lot of people.
I was
you
just
guys.
Kidding.
There's a lot of people I can't stand, but you guys are okay. You're all right in my
book. Oh, good.
You're cool.
Good.
Doug, so, we made it this week.
Yes.
So we cut through that. We got a really...
okay with.
Ooh.
Thank God.
This is like a really bad reality
There's
gaming
like
show.
There's like five really names does. On the okay list.
It's Rock Up Scott, all right? You got to get the music in the... Okay, guys, now listen, all right? Now, I went through this stuff thoroughly, and I'm sorry, Doug.
You didn't make the cut?
You have to give me your heart back.
Your tour ends here, Doug.
You have to give me your heart, or whatever the stupid thing is they care. God, I hate those.
Okay.
I mean, I never liked Poison in the 80s. They were a crap band in the 80s. Why do we have to keep recycling? Why do we have to keep coming? Why can't they die? I'm saying it. I don't like that stuff. Go away. You're a washed-up rocker with a bald head because you have to wear a bandana over your head. It's obvious that you're bald. And you say what you ever want. I know you're a wolf rock fan.
No. You're perfectly okay. I agree with you on the bald part, but I don't think the bandana has anything to do with it. I think, because I've seen him once.
Oh, he's got more plugs than a Christmas tree.
But I think it's a wig, because his hair looks very fake.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's plugged.
Let's get him on the show.
It looks, call him
I'm sure
up,
he'll
Scott.
Come on now.
Yeah.
If they heard anything, which they probably, they don't listen to
they
us.
They don't listen.
Dude, we can get
I don't even
here.
Think they listen to their own
Act
stuff.
Like we love him. He'll come on here and I'll be like, dude, Ricky Rocket or whatever his stupid stage name. And be like, dude, I love everything you've ever done, man. What was the name of a Poison album?
I don't know. Let's call it Poison's Best.
We talk about our wieners.
I really don't
That's
know
what they
right
all the
now.
Time.
We talk about our wieners.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, speaking of bald, what's with the faux hawk? You know how I feel about the faux hawk.
Doug is looking splendiferous today.
Much like, I actually...
I'm so happy that the yuppies have adapted the mohawk. I'm so
I
happy
actually
about that.
Did...
Sculpted. Not you personally. Yeah. You're not yuppie. You're a working man. Like
I did sculpt it into a faux hawk for a brief moment, and then I said, "Okay, that totally sucks." And I
well, maybe that's
all
what
up.
All these people.
But then
do.
When I'm driving in the car, like the way the wind goes, it just sort of formed it this way, and I can't help it.
Well, I'm sorry. I had to take a real fascist approach. On
I
this
think
and
it's
say,
great, Doug.
No,
yeah.
Shut up. Shut up, Bonnie.
I think
right?
you look hot.
No, I'm laying the gauntlet down.
This was not intentional.
I think you're going to get a date from the faux hawk.
A date from the faux hawk?
No.
Yeah,
no,
great.
No, you're not. No. No.
Grandpa Jones. That's a nice haircut you got there, buddy.
What did Cowan say? I can't do it. How did he do it on my voice?
Oh, I don't know, but...
Hello, Sally.
I can't do it. He was, like, absolutely perfect.
The faux hawk
but he
needs
loves
to go.
Scott L's demographic. That's all that matters.
There was just a lot of stupid jokes yesterday.
Scott L's demographic.
That was my favorite.
I came up with that. That wasn't in the script.
I know, but yeah. It was... And by the way, I just have to say this for the Kaisers, the script was genius.
It was genius.
Yeah, thanks for getting me out of hot water before I jumped into hot water. Yeah, we need to talk more about the faux hawks later, I think. Maybe Heather will let us talk about faux hawks. Because
it's not a faux hawk. It wasn't, like for one moment this
it's
morning.
Got style. It's got style.
It's just a mess.
I just saw some guy.
I slept on it for 22 minutes.
I just remember, again, it's just the watering down of things. I just remember a time when if you had a mohawk.
Right.
Dude, just watch Taxi Driver, okay?
Right.
De Niro had a mohawk, bad guy, right?
Right.
I mean, a mohawk generally means, okay, this dude's kind of a weirdo, or whatever like that. It's like, I see some guy get out of a BMW now.
Well,
a mohawk.
I'll throw this
I'm
out
like,
into a flock of seagulls do next.
No, have you seen that guy lately?
That'll be hot.
He's got like a little ring of hair that he keeps
he
like
swings over his
feet
head.
Long. And he wraps it around his head.
This is just shred city tonight. Let's go to break. Norman Ober's coming up. We'll be back here. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
All right, listen up, everybody. I'm Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. Yeah, you know me from Strangeland and the House of Aaron, TV and Star of the Screen. And you're listening to Ghostly Talk. Know that.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's Drive Time Paranormal Broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandthedemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostandthedemon.com. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
The goal of the demonic is... is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And his hands went to tear across the face.
It's very scary here. Everything about it is scary. The work in this field, our face is very short.
It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not think in human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology Today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Ted Deal, Alec Lassell, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
At nightwatchers.info.
Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places.
The Night Watchers want you.
Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info.
Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
Listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Anita's Heaven is a true story about how Norman Ober's late wife's death never ended. Norman finished the book 13 years after Anita's channeled letters began. Meeting deadlines all his professional life, now retired, he decided to give Anita's Heaven as much time as it needed. And he did. The introduction and flashbacks and italics in the book tell of Anita's and Norman's stories. How she changed him in the afterlife from an atheist to a deist, and how her channeled letters in time stirred, exposed, and uprooted a hatred simmering in him since his boyhood. Sounds heavy, doesn't it, Doug?
It's a very heavy topic. I'm really anxious.
Yes.
What's the website?
The website is www.anitasheaven.com. And with that, we'd like to welcome Norman over to the show. Norman, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm just doing fine. I've been listening in fascination to what has been going on.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And you're still here. That's amazing. So let's dive right into it. This obviously is a story, the book itself, Anita's
Heaven. Well, it starts with a tragedy.
Yeah, it starts with a tragedy, yeah.
You know, because your wife passed away, of course, but then, of course, you found out that it's probably not as tragic as it would seem, because you've been in contact with her through channeling. How did that come about?
Well, I just refused to accept the idea that she was dead, that she was gone forever. It drove me crazy thinking that this could be the end. And I kept seeking and searching and trying to find if there wasn't some way that I could reach her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was odd because I didn't believe in God and I couldn't think of a way that I could reach her. I just felt that I had to keep myself focused or else I would absolutely die of grief. I couldn't stand the idea that she was gone. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful marriage. And finally it happened. It took 3 years from the time that she died until the first channeled letter. That was 3 years' time, 1990 to 1993. Mm-hmm. And when I first began getting these letters, I didn't believe for a minute that I was really getting letters from Anita. I thought, well, okay, this is something I'm doing to myself. I'm making them all up. But we went on. It took me 14 months to really understand and begin to believe that these letters were authentic. And that, of course, changed me from an atheist to a believer. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be out there alone. Mm-hmm. And she must be with God.
Well, the question I have, with my rough timeline so far, it took 3 years for your first like contact with Anita, it sounds like, and then
another year,
well,
over
another
year,
you just
kind of
like figure it out, go
figure out
what's
this is her. When something must have convinced you, because you know if you see the first one and you're like, well, you know, that could be my subconscious. I mean, you probably went through the whole gamut of emotions.
We should ask how are you getting these contacts physically for you to, I mean, you obviously have to see something, a message. I mean, how are you physically getting these?
Well, as Anita described it to me, she actually learned how to project out toward me and to reach my vibration with hers.
Okay.
And that took a little time, but once it happened, the process by which she communicated to me was apparently fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
She just impressed on my brain the things she wanted to tell me, and my brain picked it up, and I found I could use a pen or a pencil and write down what she was telling me. Well, that wasn't an efficient way to deal with it, because I have a rotten handwriting, and later on, it's an absolute fact.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, anyway, trying to read it later was a little difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went on this way. I got the gist of what she was telling me, and I could never write down my questions to her, because just the act of getting it on paper, it was all I could do to get down what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, when the time came to figure out what our conversation was, it was not a very reliable system.
Mm-hmm.
And then the break came, and that was when it occurred to me to try the computer to see if she could reach me, reach my brain through the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked simply, easily, in the very first time. And ever since then, when I'm ready to do a letter, I just sit at the computer. I find a page, the next one to the last letter.
Mm-hmm.
I put the date in, I put the time in, and I write the word darling. And that's all it takes.
Wow.
She begins communicating with me. It's as simple and easy and smooth as that. And God bless it, the process makes it possible for me to type down on the keyboard what Anita is telling me, and you'll have to forgive me if I say Benita. In my dotage, my first wife's name was indeed Anita.
Mm-hmm.
10 years ago, I married a lovely girl who was the daughter of one of my best friends,
mm-hmm.
a lot younger than me, and her name was Benita.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And she is not particularly happy when I come up and say Anita, when I mean Benita,
yeah,
and
right.
Vice versa.
Uh-huh.
But we manage to do it anyway.
Mm.
And what happens is I've now got over 3,000 communications all written down from Anita, and from that came the book. The writing of the book was simply an exercise in trying to figure out what to use, what I had to use, and what I could bear to leave out.
Yeah, boy, you're the luckiest author on the planet. The book's already written, pretty much. You just have to just tweak it a little bit, and you got it done.
Well, the raw material was all there.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly grateful for the fact that I have two women in my life, albeit their names are so similar,
mm-hmm.
One from the other side and one from this side, and neither one of them has any objections to the other. And as a mystic that I know in Denver, Myron McClellan said, "You've got the best of both worlds."
And you do.
Well, it's very nice of Benita to really understand, you know, I mean, we all have a past. You know, sometimes people try to, like, forget in relationships like that, you know, that, well, everything from the time we met never happened.
You
know? Yeah. In my case, I am blessed by having a understanding on both ends of this this compass.
That is, so, and that's so good to have. It's so special.
I have a question. In life, when Anita was around, what did she think that she would be going to heaven and that kind of thing, or was she atheist as well?
She was nothing like an atheist. She was a believer. She believed in God, and we spent years off and on in which I tried to convince her that there was no God, and she tried to convince me that there was. Out of it, she put up with me, and I went to synagogue with her from time to time when it seemed important, but I didn't really personally identify with any of the deity experience. It didn't happen until she accused me of it once in one of our communications. She said, you're starting to believe in God because you realize I can't be here alone. And that's the wrong way to believe in God, she said. You must believe in God and then accept that I'm with him. But we talked that out, but we never worked it out. It was just one of those things. That, you know, and I'm most respectful of God now, which I sometimes feel is beyond my ability, but it works, and it helps me a great deal. But I have to admit that what I get back from Anita has given me a reason to live, a reason to look forward, because our conviction is that when my time comes to go, and I'm just about to become 89.
Oh, wow.
So it won't be that far from now. And when that happens, I will be going to rejoin her, and that we have work to do in heaven. We've worked it all out between ourselves, and we hope not to reincarnate. We hope to stay there. And it all started with my crackpot idea that I never wanted to be without her again, and I never wanted to lose her, and I didn't want to be 22 to 23 years finding her again. Mm. That seemed like an awful waste of time, and you gather from all this that I have a great deal of love in me for Anita. And fortunately, I have enough love in me to give to Benita, and Benita is the one who urged me to marry her. Mm-hmm. So this has been a good thing.
It's been a wonderful thing. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you is that in your communications with Anita, she did tell you, I'm sure this is a question you may have had for her, or she may just impress this upon you, was that, you know, what does, you know, heaven look like? Anita's in heaven. She's chilling in heaven right now, right?
Yes, she is.
And she told you, you know, what this place looks like. Well, I think that's a really important question.
It is.
For a lot of people. A lot of people are very curious about this. Could you enlighten us on this, Norman?
Well, paradise is something that defines the word paradise. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It is not air castles. It is not people flying around with wings.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a society which lives on love. There is no hatred, no greed, no corruption, no war, no crime. People live together and respect one another. And I think the operative word really is love.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God teaches. This is what God has been trying to teach all of the peoples of the different planets that do exist. And you may have come across that if you read the book, the fact that there isn't one universe. There are actually 10. And they are separate and distinct and can't cooperate, can't in any way communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm.
In each of these universes is one planet which has been peopled, and we of course here on Earth are the people of the planet Earth, of the universe that we are familiar with. And each one has one except for one. There were 10, but one destroyed itself.
Oh,
it absolutely leveled itself, and life doesn't exist there anymore. There is another planet which still exists but came close to destroying itself. And that's out there. These people are trying to struggle back from mutation and injury to something like normal life.
Mm.
The others are still in existence, and some are more advanced than others.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is up toward the more advanced level, but not by any means the most advanced there is. We have a lot to learn from the brilliance of others who have made wonderful things happen on their planets.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I say that every single one of the planets is deficient in one way. Fundamentally, it's love.
Mm-hmm.
Love doesn't go far enough. Love doesn't inspire the peoples of these planets to love one another and endure one another and live and let live. There is, in other words, trouble. There is some war at some time on every one of them, and they, of course, get more and more advanced, as we do, in developing techniques for killing one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the day she once told me, she said, God will never destroy the peoples he put on Earth. They'll destroy themselves. They're working very hard on accomplishing that.
Well, I was going to ask you, Norman, you know, now, you said there's 10 universes, and within, I just want to get this, you know, the dynamics of this straight. You said there's only 9, actually, now.
The 10th one exists, but there are no people.
There's no people on it. Okay, so it's there, but there's no people there. And within these universes, is there, like, one planet that has life on it? Is that how it works?
Well, there is one planet that has human life on it, exactly that.
Okay, all right, so you just kind of maybe answered this, sort of, is that, you know, boy, how far are we into this as far as, you know, waxing ourselves out? Because we hear it every day, Norman, that there's always someone saying, you know, if we keep up with this garbage we're doing over here, we're going to just totally annihilate ourselves. We're going to kill ourselves. We're going to destroy our life. I mean, are we far? Can we make it back? I personally think that we are in trouble as a race of people.
Well, you have it 100% right.
Okay.
We are in trouble. And can we make it back? I think it's possible,
mm-hmm.
but it's a great challenge. And the more and more the power to kill falls into the hands of few, the more and more danger there is that, well, in the case of the one planet, which has wiped itself out, that was atomic, if you will,
mm-hmm.
or hydrogen energy brought to the extreme, which was intended to wipe out one side of a war.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't stop. It kept going. It was like a firestorm that engulfed that particular world. And that was the end of all the people and all that they had accomplished. And they were an advanced society. You know, some of these planets have rocket science developed to the point where there are no planes anymore, just rockets.
Oh.
And they actually get them up and down safely. She described to me, Anita described to me, a process whereby the rocket, as it comes down, is literally cradled, gripped and cradled in a beautiful, wonderful way to put it down,
mm-hmm.
rather than have a chance hitting the Earth and maybe bouncing and
mm-hmm.
God knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
So there are no rocket wrecks. And that's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, it's very remarkable. So all these... well, go ahead, Doug.
What did you do, like, as a profession, you know, before you retired? Were you a psychic or a mystic or anything like that, or what did you
do? Nothing of the kind. I didn't believe in psychics and mystics.
Oh, yeah, as an atheist, I wouldn't, yeah.
I've met a few since, and I believe in them, I have to tell you. what I did with my life was, as a kid, I grew up with the idea that I would become an actor, and become not only an actor, but the greatest one on Earth, which is an ambition I share with probably millions of kids.
Yes.
It never happened. I got to be an actor, and I did some work on the stage and in radio, and I discovered from my work that I was not the best one around, mm-hmm. and nor would I ever be the best one around. Too
mm-hmm.
many of the people that I worked with were much better tuned to looking into themselves and drawing other characters out of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Men like, what was it, Everett Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that name means anything to you. But Everett Sloan, he had a role in the movie about Hearst.
Oh, yeah.
Which ended with the marvelous business of describing Rosebud as his sled.
Yeah.
And Everett Sloan did all the work that he could handle
Citizen
in radio
King.
Because everybody wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my particular knack was that I was a voice change artist.
Oh.
That got me work. Well, I had been in the marionette business, and you get behind the marionette proscenium and project out to the kids one character after another, frequently talking back and forth to themselves. And that was something that worked for me. As long as that was the case, I, along with a guy named Eddie Mayhoff, whom some people may remember, who was the guy who played Senator Claghorn? Kenny Delmar. He worked for the Fred Allen Show. And we three met all the time because we were budget items. The thing was, they were better budget items than I. So I finally got to the point where television was getting to be a reality,
mm-hmm.
and the Writers Union got a the Screenwriters Guild. It's vague in my memory, but one of the unions got passed a rule that you couldn't do any more on a radio show than one main character, a walk-on, and miscellaneous voices. And once that happened, I stopped getting work.
Oh, man.
I went in to see a guy named Earl McGill, who at the time was a director up at CBS, the CBS Radio Network. And he kindly consented to see me. He'd stopped using me. And I asked him, I said, something stupid like, who has told you I'm a communist, or whatever the devil I had said, something like that. And he looked at me, and he didn't know what I meant. And I said, well, look, I'm not getting any more work, and people are blackening the characters of other people all over this industry, and it's the only way I can explain it. And then he laughed. He said, you know, you're not as smart as I thought you were. He said, it's got nothing to do with communism. He said, you don't. You're not a good budget item anymore. I can't get a lot of parts out of you.
So
to pay for a whole Cockney, he said I'll hire myself a real Cockney.
Well, you know, they're doing that today, only now they're calling it outsourcing. You know what, Norman? There's a couple things I want to say, and then unfortunately we're out of time.
Man.
But there's a couple things that I want to tell you. First of all, one of the messages that you talked about in this previous half hour is very similar to a friend of ours, Mark Kimmel,
mm-hmm.
what he has been saying. And he's writing fiction books
mm-hmm.
with only with a meaning, the meaning of the book. There's a real meaning to the book.
Well, it's around a fictional story.
Yeah, the characters and the storylines and that are not just an entertaining way to deliver the message.
Yeah.
The message of his books is similar to some of the messages that you said that Anita has told you.
Similar to a lot of people we talk to.
And a lot of people, but Mark Kimmel comes out in my mind. And another thing about the reincarnation, I'm right there with you. I know you said that you guys want to stop reincarnating and stay there, but I'm right there with you with reincarnation because of my studies with Edgar Cayce. Not with him. I'm not that old, but I study Edgar Cayce and his literature and his life and times and even though in waking life, you know, he was a Christian and didn't believe in reincarnation, but when he would go to sleep or go under and contact, and give these self-hypnosis things.
Yeah.
He talked widely and greatly about reincarnation and how that works. And some of it's very similar to what's in your book. So those are a couple of points that really, really strike home with me, Norman. And I also want to throw out your website. Your website is www.anitasheaven.com, and that'll be permanently linked up at our website, ghostlytalk.com.
I'd like to note also that this is a self-published book, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where can people get it off of anitasheaven.com?
Well, thanks to the fact that I published it myself, it's not available in bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to get it is through Blooming Twig Books, and the address there is info@bloomingtwigbooks.com. And a very nice guy named Kent Gustafson will take the order, and it will be fulfilled in that way. And the only other way to get it is to contact me at my site, which is an email address called AnitasHeaven, no apostrophe.
Okay, your email address, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, AnitasHeaven@optonline.net.
We'll make sure to put that up on the site tonight for you.
We'll put that up on the website as well. Norman, thank you so much.
Thank you. Hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay? We're just going to go to break, okay?
Okay, fine.
Stand by. Okay, we got to go to break. We're flying here.
Okay, we'll go to break and we'll be right back.
Coming up, Mr. Michael Cremo. Going to be
excellent.
Heavy time when we... Oh. You know if you've heard of the show before, Michael Cremo.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Bring it on.
For more info, visit GhostlyTalk.com.